I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and former host here at PW Torch Livecast. If you're looking for my shows, they have moved as of July 2017. They're now called the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available through Podcast One. Enter Wade Keller on your podcast app or iTunes and subscribe to the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, where I cover Raw and my first show of the week, SmackDown, with my second show of the week, and then the flagship edition with a co-host, and we cover a broad array of pro wrestling current events, and then I end the week with a weekly interview. That's the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, now at Podcast One. Subscribe today. Just search Wade Keller.
So the show never ends. This is PW Torch Wayback Playback episode number 168. As we bring you in its entirety the fourth episode of WWF Saturday Night Main Event. I am Pat McNeil and he's Jim Valley. Jim, are you ready to climb into the Wayback Machine and do the walk of life?
Yes, here comes Jimmy. Usually I'm here doing the very popular Wrestling Road Stories. Each and every Wednesday here on the PW Torch Livecast at PWTorchLivecast.com. But keep in mind that this is a special pre-Thanksgiving Day event. I am hopefully sitting around playing Super Mario Odyssey right now while other people do things that are productive. But so this is a sample of what you can get if you sign up to be a VIP member. This is just one of the benefits that Wade never talks about, but we enjoy thoroughly here on the PW Torch VIP membership. So each and every week, Pat and I watch some sort of wrestling programming on the WWE Network. We give you our thoughts. We watch it in real time. We give you history. We give you background. We give you context. We make stupid jokes, we point out things happening on the screen, funny hairstyles, wacky people in the crowd, that kind of stuff. Yes, I know Conrad Thompson has picked this up. Yes, I know he has a kajillion listeners. Yes, I'm fine with it. I don't care, but we did do it first. So don't harass. All I care about is don't tweet me and say we're ripping somebody off. That's all I care about. Enjoy whatever you want to enjoy. But just don't tell me that we ripped it off. That's all. No, I don't think they ripped us off either. I don't think it's particularly anything like that. So we all get along, so don't harass me. That's really all I care about.
Although I wouldn't say no to being used as their opening act on their stage shows.
there you go.
I'm just saying. All right. But in any case, yes, here we are. Let's give you the background, and you know, normally we break up all this background stuff into three or four episodes when we're doing a pay-per-view, but we're going to do it all now because that's the way we are. Okay, so this is the fourth episode of Saturday Night's Main Event being taped December 19th, 1985 in Tampa, Florida at the USF Sundome. As you know, 1985 saw the first three episodes of Saturday Night's Main Event on NBC. Also, a little known fact, 1985 was the year that Austrian rock singer Falco recorded...
The Russell Pistolasol video is in itself larger than life.
I'm sorry, we've done the other 1985 joke so many times, I thought we'd switch it up this time.
Okay, I love Falco.
Yes, we
do. I thought he was really cool. He tragically passed away very young.
Yes,
but,
well, as always, if you have any complaints about my Falco jokes, you're always welcome to take it up with Der Kommissar. All right, so when they actually air this show, it is January 4th, 1986. There were WWF shows on January 4th, 1986, which is a Saturday. However, none of those seem to have results logged in the usual places. But I can tell you definitely what happened on January 3rd, 1986 in the WWF on a Friday night. The A show, Jim, is in Denver on that show. Corporal Kirchner defeats the Iron Sheik. Normally on the on this show, it is Hogan and Andre against Big John Studd, King Kong Bundy, and Bobby Heenan. But Hogan has the night off, so it's Andre the Giant teaming with Hillbilly Jim to defeat Studd, Bundy, and Heenan in your main event.
Wow, what a crappy main event.
Yes, the B show has hit Kansas City, where 4,000 people turned out to see Jesse the Body Ventura take on and defeat Uncle Elmer. And in the main event, Randy Savage beats Intercontinental Champion Tito Santana by disqualification. So that's
well, at least you get that, I guess. At least you get Savage and Santana, which was probably all right. Jesse Ventura versus Uncle Elmer.
Yeah,
there was probably what, like, I'm guessing, like, what, probably like a 5-minute match, no bumps.
Well, you're going to see a truncated version of it here in a moment. So.
Yeah.
Yes. Meanwhile, the NWA Jim Crockett Promotions has it's Saturday, so they do their usual television taping in the morning in Atlanta, where Loverboy Dennis Condrey defeats Rocky King. And in the main event, which is taped for that evening's World Championship Wrestling, Magnum TA and the Barbarian fight to a no contest when Harley Race interferes. Pretty sure that's available on the WWE Network. That night, they went to Greensboro, North Carolina, where they had a tournament to crown the new television champion. In the finals, it was Arn Anderson defeating Wahoo McDaniel, and the main event was a champion versus champion match between NWA World Champion Ric Flair and NWA National Champion Dusty Rhodes, which ended in a no contest when everybody interfered because this was Jim Crockett Promotions in 1986.
And that's all we had was run-ins. Yeah, I bet you Bruce Mitchell was there. Greensboro, he had to have been there.
He probably was. That's a good question for the Bruce Mitchell mailbag, by the way, for you VIP members. January 3rd, 1986 was a Friday night World Class Championship Wrestling in Dallas, where Lance Von Erich defeated John Tatum. And in the main event, the Freebirds, Michael Hayes, Buddy Roberts, Terry Gordy, defeat Kevin Von Erich, Terry Von Erich, and Brian Adias to win the coveted world-class six-man titles. Wow. Guessing part of that's probably on the network now, too, now that I think about it. Okay, cultural stuff. The number one book in the country was The Mammoth Hunters by John M. Owl, who I think wrote Clan of the Cave Bear. Number one nonfiction was Lee Iacocca's autobiography, Iacocca. Yeah, 30 years ago, if you'd asked which businessman was most likely to become president, Lee Iacocca would have won that poll.
Yeah, he was always in the conversation, and it never happened.
Nope. Number one song in the country, one Jim obviously knows well, Say You, Say Me by Lionel Richie. He was smooth. Still is.
Say it together, naturally.
Number one movie in the country, Rocky IV, starring Sylvester Stallone and Talia Shire. Because if I can change, then you can change. Yeah. Adrian! Yeah. Also, the NFL playoffs that day, the Los Angeles Rams shut out the Dallas Cowboys 20-0 in Anaheim. Eric Dickerson ran for 248 yards, scored 2 touchdowns, set a playoff record. And that was the last time that the Rams hosted a playoff game in California before they moved to St. Louis. In the National Basketball Association, the big game, Houston defeating Philadelphia 115-100 in Houston. Flash from the past, Black Magic Lewis Lloyd led the Rockets with 21 points. Charles Barkley had 19 for the Sixers. So if we're ready to go, it's Saturday night. It's 11:30 p.m. on whatever coast, on the East Coast, and probably on the West Coast, too, by the time you're watching it. And we are ready for Saturday night's main event. I am at 0 seconds with the graphic. Saturday night's main event shines in Florida. Jim, is that about where you are?
Yep, works for me.
Get yourself queued up. Get past the ads, and we're all going to hit play together. In 3, 2, 1. Yes. A knockoff. Or this is a knockoff of Heavy Fuel by Dire Straits. So I'm guessing they use the real thing. And speaking of Heavy Fuel, Hulk Hogan is making a protein shake. It looks like the world's worst protein shake, in fact.
I love this water park, this old school water park.
I'm guessing they're at Busch Gardens
You know, it's so amazing how far water parks have advanced. I mean, they weren't that widespread in 1985, so this was the coolest thing ever, and now it's like, bet you this water park.
Mean Gene having a seizure after drinking that protein shake. Oh, yes. Hogan wearing the cool shades. All right. Uh-oh. Look who's on the lazy river. Yep. Yes.
The camera goes through his binoculars.
Hillbilly Jim, Uncle Elmer, Cousin Junior. Yeah, I'm guessing you didn't really need binoculars to see those guys.
And there's Paris Hilton on the right-hand side rubbing Jesse Ventura.
Oh, come on. It's 1985. That obviously has to be Paris Hilton's mom.
Yeah, Paris Hilton, I don't even think she was born in 85.
Yes, okay. Yeah, so this is Saturday night's main event. The original theme, of course, Anne Emotions' Obsession, which was replaced in 1988 by generic song number 12, which you're hearing now. Yes, and this is what we liked. Oh, by the way, Jim, there's a very special match that probably has some resonance in 2017. It's going to be the USA versus Russia peace match. But we'll get to that in just a moment. And there we are at the USF Sundome. You're going to discover soon that they didn't really know how to dress these buildings for television just yet, but they'll get there. And there's Vince McMahon. He's very enthusiastic.
As always. His hair doesn't look quite as coiffed as normal. It must be the Florida humidity.
That's got to be the humidity.
Usually there's no stray hair sticking up. The right side looks a little rugged. Yeah, he's a...
It's the peace match.
Match.
Purple Kirchner, Nikolai Volkov. Just
so
in time for the Geneva summit. Oh, but
in 1985, obviously, there was still the Cold War going on.
Yes.
It was the Reagan years.
It wasn't like today where the U.S. and Russia are on such great terms. Yeah. The Junkyard Dog teaming with Ricky Steamboat against Morocco and Fuji. Wow. So we do get a tag team match on this show. Jeez. Notwithstanding that, as Vince would say. Yes, it's the first Saturday night's main event meeting between George Animal Steel and Randy the Macho Man Savage. Jim, we have a loaded show here this week. You've got to admit. All right, there we go. Hulk Hogan and Terry Funk. First time ever on network television. Last time on network television, too. Oh, and look who's here. Oh, that's nice. Jesse the Body Ventura, ready for action. If it was 2017, his cape would light up.
There it is. There's Jesse Ventura in his best superstar Billy Graham ripoff attire.
Right. All right. Well, yes. And we get the six-man tag, the Hillbillies versus the big stars, Piper Ventura and Ace Cowboy Bob Orton. Bob Orton, not only the father of Randy Orton, but... the man that's so cool, he has two nicknames. Okay. Yes, Jesse says he's the only announcer who ever get in the ring, and you would never see a sports announcer, you know, get in and do their actual sport. It's not like Tony Romo has ever gone in and been quarterback. Oh wait, no. Okay, well. It's not like John Smoltz, the baseball announcer, has ever gone... No, that's not right either. Oh, Jesse.
Jesse was hugely popular in this era. You know, he wasn't the first heel announcer, but, you know, with the national television, to many fans, he was the first heel announcer, and he was really good at it, and he got over huge with people.
Now, the attention to detail, they make sure that none of Heenan's guys are wrestling on this show so he can fill in and be the color commentator for Vince McMahon. Yes, Bobby Heenan says he wants to live up to the high excellence of broadcasting that Jesse Ventura has provided. So, yes, that's probably where Rush Limbaugh got the phrase, from Bobby Heenan.
Well, Heenan replaced Ventura not only in WWF, but also in WCW.
Yeah. When they figured out that not only did Heenan cost less, but he wasn't as big a pain in the ass as Jesse was.
I love these interviews right here in the aisleway. I thought they were kind of cool.
Yeah, they never should have gotten rid of those.
They kind of make it seem like it's a live event, like things are happening and stuff. It's not the prettiest, but I don't know. I think it's got
live
a cool
to tape,
look to it.
So, yeah.
But
also have the level of fan enthusiasm in 1985, which, you know, kind of hard to reproduce today.
You know, it's pretty amazing. You know, Roddy Piper, with the exception of California and Portland, was never brought in on top anywhere. He was, you know, they made him the Mid-Atlantic TV champion and expect him to be a low-level heel in Crockett. And he was supposed to be a manager in WWF, and each time, you know, he was so good at what he did that he was pushed right to the top, and he succeeded. I mean, Roddy Piper is small for this era. And, you know, you think that, you know, Shawn Michaels was small for his era, and he's smaller than Roddy Piper. And yesterday on Twitter, I saw Johnny Gargano standing next to Shawn Michaels, and Shawn Michaels dwarfs Johnny Gargano. So it's like those Russian egg dolls.
Oh, yes, Johnny Gargano, by the way, Johnny Thurplay's favorite wrestler. Let's be sure to ask him about that. All right, so here we go. There's Piper and Orton and Ventura. And, I mean, you want to start out of show getting some heat. This is how you do it. There were dark matches on the Saturday night's main event. Of course, the match to send people home happy after they finished taping Saturday night's main event. The Dream Team defeated the Killer Bees to retain the tag team titles.
Oh, there's the actual wedding. Now, this is a real wedding. Uncle Elmer was actually married to that woman.
Yes, and we actually covered that about 52 episodes ago when we did last year's Thanksgiving show. Hillbilly Jim, Uncle Elmer, Cousin Junior. Cousin Junior no longer with us. Uncle Elmer is no longer with us, I'm guessing.
No, he's
pretty
not.
Sure. Yeah. Anyway. The Hillbilly became a rep for Coliseum Video. And then there was no Coliseum Video, so I don't know what he did after that.
I think he still does a Sirius XM radio show, like an Outlaw Country thing.
Oh, cool. Good for him. All right, here we go. This is the moment you've been waiting for. They set it up. They spent a whole month setting it up. The six-man tag, the Country Boys, the City Slickers. Well, relatively.
And if you notice that the Country Boys here, they're dressed very much like Phineas and Henry O. Godwin were.
Yes.
You know, there was definitely a template for country rural heels in WWF, and it was kind of started by Haystacks Calhoun, the Scufflin' Hillbillies. This is a very traditional wrestling outfit for the country character.
As Hillbilly Jim booked as being from Mudlick, Kentucky, which I somehow doubt's a real town, but okay.
And he wrestled in Memphis as Harley Davidson.
Yes, he did. During this time, you know, Hillbilly Jim booked as Hulkster's buddy, and since Hulk didn't work the ridiculous 350 days a week schedule, Hillbilly would fill in for Hogan often on the road. So,
but he didn't last that long. He got a knee injury in WWF, and he didn't last that long.
But in this era, there's always somebody who basically filled in for Hogan when Hogan had nights off or weeks off.
Yeah, Hogan always had a buddy. He always had a tag team partner.
I mean, and after Hillbilly, I think it was Hacksaw Jim Duggan for a while. And, yeah, you know, you get the idea. Oh, here we go. He's got Jesse up. Yes, if they had performed this match on NXT TakeOver on Saturday night, there would have been riots.
Jesse Ventura, known for his mouth, but never his work.
Well, he's selling, at least.
Yeah.
Let's go to the headlock. Let's slow things down a bit.
Yeah, too much action. You got to take the match down now.
Yeah, come on. We got to go to commercial here, so we got to slow it down.
Jesse Ventura, a Pacific Northwest heavyweight champion. When I first started watching wrestling, he was in Portland.
Dave Hebner, your referee, by the way. Hot tag to Cousin Junior. Hey, buddy. Don't shake his hand. Really, if you have to be told not to shake Roddy Piper's hand at this point, I can't help you. Oh, there we go. Oh, cousin. Boom. All right. Oh, now it's time to cut the ring in half, Jim.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
Okay.
So Cousin Junior, we should mention, also became a member of the Moondogs. He was Moondog Cujo for a while.
Ah, yes, Lanny Keene.
Yeah.
A little small for a Moondog, but okay.
Well, you know, with the pot belly and stuff, you take the take the shirt off. He's got some body hair. He fits as a Moondog.
There were a lot of Moondogs. It's hard to keep track of them all.
That's true.
I'm surprised nobody's tried bringing back the Moondogs. It doesn't require a whole lot of wardrobe.
I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe in NXT somewhere they'll find.
Or a whole lot of gym work, for that matter.
The Authors of Pain could have been Moondogs.
Well, they seem to be doing okay doing what they're doing.
They're doing fine. I'm just saying they'll need that body type.
Yes. Okay, here we go. Hot Tag to Ventura. Yeah. I mean, Ventura's tights were considered flamboyant for the era.
You know, Ventura's a good talker and everything. Aside from his work rate, I thought his costumes never really matched. I think that pattern looks like crap on TV.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just thought that he was, you know, he should have upped his gear game, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, probably. You know, he was making good money. He could have done that.
His gear always looked like a terrible Superstar Billy Graham as opposed to a good version of Superstar Billy Graham. Like, Hulk Hogan was a good version of Superstar Billy Graham.
Yes, he was. All right, Ace, still sporting the cast from that injury to his left arm.
Bob Orton, a second-generation wrestler, his dad, Cowboy Bob Orton.
His dad, Bob Orton Sr., yeah.
Yeah.
Oh no, referee Dave Hebner missed the tag to Hillbilly Jim. Oh, my goodness. Well, that's just terrible. And somehow missed the lack of tag here.
I love the heel fan there over Roddy's shoulder with the Roddy Piper T-shirt standing up and clapping.
Hey, you need a few of those, you know?
Even in 1985.
Yep, they're still out there. I had a friend in law school who used to dress up. He and his buddies used to dress up as Russians and go to the Jim Crockett TV tapings. Like wear the like have big hammer and sickle signs.
Were they bald?
No. There was
because
that.
Every Russian in the 80s was bald.
That's right. They couldn't grow hair in Russia.
Yeah, in the 50s and 60s they did have hair, but I don't know, sometime in the
there was a nuclear
70s.
Accident in the 80s in Russia involving Chernobyl and Freebird hair cream. That's what happened.
Yeah, something. Boy, look at that crowd just going crazy.
Of course, they're seeing nothing but action here.
Look at that. Just six guys in the ring just punching each
Bonzo,
other. They're
Gonzo.
Going nuts.
It's breaking down in Tampa. It's a Pier 6 brawl. We got to take Roddy calls for commercial break, and we get one. And after the commercial, they come back in. So they're out on the floor for 2.5 minutes.
Being that this is Florida and it's off-season, are we going to see George Steinbrenner in the crowd? Because oftentimes he was at these shows.
That's true.
He's at the shows in Florida.
Yeah, you couldn't keep him away. Yankees headquarters, by the way, in Tampa. I've been there. That's where they hold the spring training. Lovely facility.
Tampa also the wrestler capital of the world.
Yes, it is.
They should do like a Netflix series just called Wrestler Town or something and all these old retired wrestlers and their lives in Florida.
They could show all the retired wrestlers, you know, gathering at IHOP at 4 p.m. for the discount or whatever. Yeah.
They do have a Florida wrestlers reunion every month. Brian
I know,
Blair
I know they do. Bob
Unboded.
Cook tells me about those. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd go except I'm not a wrestler. So, there we go. I'm sure they'd let me pay money, though. All right, Hillbilly. He's working over the arm of Roddy Piper. I don't know if Roddy can come back. Oh, yeah, he can. There we go. Yeah, yeah. That one heel fan. Yeah, punch him. All right. There we go. And tagging Ace. Fans are standing. Oh, my goodness, there's Piper. All right, here we go. Cousin Junior's in. Look out, everybody. Oh, my goodness, those double sledges reminiscent of Kairi Sane. Okay, not reminiscent of Kairi Sane, anyway.
More reminiscent of the Polish hammer of Ivan Putski.
I think Ivan Putski would take offense to that. But okay. Oh, a big drop kick from Ace. Bob Orton dying to hit the one high spot in this match. Wow. Oh, no, not the belly. Not that. Anything but that, Jim. Anything but getting dry humped by Uncle Elmer.
I guess Uncle Elmer would sell, like, fake Rolexes and other gimmicks in the locker room to make extra money in Memphis.
Oh, okay. Hey. Right. You know, you got to... And then out at the gimmick tables. Oh, there we go. Piper put him out with a sleeper. Team Piper wins, folks. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Look at that sign, Piper rules.
Yeah, well, he does.
I mean, how bad is it that you lose clean to Roddy Piper on national?
Everybody
TV?
Lost. Well, Roddy Piper didn't do clean jobs. I mean,
no,
you
Roddy
can go
Roddy,
through. He did like a handful in WWF, a handful of pinfall losses.
No, Roddy knew that if you lost, you went down in WWF. Does that say NBC nothing but Cousin Junior? That guy must be a family member.
All right, congrats, Jesse. Yes. All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. So Jesse wants Bobby to replace Vince on play-by-play, which wouldn't have been the worst idea in the world, but okay. Let's go back to Mean Gene Okerlund so that Jesse can laugh at Vince some more. And we're back at the water park. Oh, there's going to be a water slide competition between Junkyard Dog and Jimmy Hart, by the way.
Look at that. That water park is so sparse. That looks like a park with a water slide is what it looks like to me.
Yeah, it does. Oh, my goodness. This is what happened on our last episode of Saturday Night's Main Event. Yes. In a fraternity prank gone wrong, Junkyard Dog branded Jimmy Hart with Terry Funk's branding iron. It's a matter of pride. Yes, Jimmy Hart wants to settle this issue with Junkyard Dog in a water slide contest.
I feel bad for that cameraman who's got to stand there. We see the one on the right, but the one here, that the vantage point we're looking at, I hope he's secure enough.
Well, you know, WWE, they take the utmost care to protect everybody who works for them.
Yes, Owen Hart.
Yes. Yeah, the music is playing over whatever Junkyard's saying, but okay. Here we go. They're off. Junkyard Dog wins. Jimmy got tangled up in his board there. Big win for the Junkyard Dog here on the Battle of the Network Stars.
It's the fastest Junkyard Dog has ever moved on a wrestling show.
Thank you. Dun, dun. Okay. Terry Funk there to help out. Yeah. Terry did not call Hogan an egg-sucking dog.
Nor did he pour motor oil on his head.
No.
A classic Terry Funk interview.
Yes, Terry says that after he wins the title, he wants to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I am amazed Jesse made it back to the water park that quickly. Gorilla Monsoon. It's a special update. Yeah, so this was at a live event in Denver. Oh, no. Jimmy Hart interfered. What were the odds of that? And Funk hits him with the branding iron.
Wow, I can't believe Hogan did that.
Oh. And Hogan gets counted out. No, wait.
Hey, look at Hogan's wearing white, by the way. Look at that.
Yeah, he wasn't exclusively yellow for a while.
Not in the early days, no. They didn't really get a color scheme solidified probably till 86.
Oh, my goodness, he got the branding iron, too.
Before there was NWO spray paint, there was Terry Funk with his branding iron.
From the Double Cross Ranch. The title can only change hands on pinfall or submission. So count out does not work. Gosh darn it. Back in the arena. Hogan is psyched up. He's said his prayers. He's taken his vitamins. He's ready to go.
Hogan seemed to adopt that headband style that he's wearing there right after the Rambo movie, because Sylvester Stallone did something similar, and it seemed that that was the inspiration. I could be wrong, but that was certainly my perception as far as the timing goes.
Okay, Hogan's got a special surprise. He's bringing the Junkyard Dog to ringside with him. Make sure that no shenanigans take place. And Junkyard Dog moved very quickly to get from the water park back to the arena.
Well, Junkyard Dog was the reason that Terry Funk left the WWF, because they had paired Terry Funk with Junkyard Dog, and Funk just got tired of having to carry the dog, and he just one day up and left. He said, there's a problem with my horse or sick. I'm going home, and he never went back.
He went home.
Until he was Chainsaw Charlie.
Yeah. All right, well, Terry Funk already in the ring. Jimmy Hart already in the ring. Here he comes. It's the moment everybody's been waiting for. Oh, my goodness. Funk went after Howard Finkel there. I expect there to be fines and suspensions for that, Jim.
Wow,
he's wearing a red T-shirt and blue trunks. Dude. At least Jimmy Hart's color coordinated here. Oh, Jimmy Hart. Okay. Coming up, the Hulkster versus Terry Funk. By the way, this was a higher rated episode than any of the first three Saturday Night's main events. So things are, you know, business is picking up here.
You know,
but why not?
Hogan
versus Funk.
This is a really low point for Saturday Night Live, and so Saturday
yeah.
Night's main event would often outperform SNL in this time slot.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Is this back in the days when if you didn't have a poster board, just bring a giant bed sheet to the arena?
I got to give them credit. They did put a lot of work into it.
That's true. They did.
Oh, it's Python power. It's like, why is there a snake on the end of that bicep?
Python power.
Is that Jake Roberts? But I thought it's still early for Jake to get here. So,
yeah.
Oh, it's Python power. Okay, I get it.
Yes. The power of the pythons. Now, imagine if you were an old NWA fan and you just happened to be flipping the dials on Saturday night and you thought, oh, my God, Terry Funk. What's happened to him? Well, he's still the same Terry Funk, only, you know, he's in the cartoon show.
Look, yeah, but, you know, Terry Funk is such a chameleon and so great.
Oh, yeah, Terry Funk's great in this.
You know, he saw that cable television was, you know, proliferating and people were seeing stars everywhere, and he sold his territory and got out. You know, he's really, you know, he's a wrestling genius, Terry Funk is.
Yes, he is.
You know, when a lot of people bought territories in this era thinking they were going to get money on wrestling, but really the territories were dying because national
yeah.
TV was taking over and people wanted the big stars that they saw on national television.
Uh-huh.
You know, Terry Funk was early on that bandwagon and understood it and got out of the territory business.
Smart fella. Oh, and double jump. Wow.
You know, I'm not saying this was a long time ago, but in 1985, Terry Funk had only retired three times.
Yeah, that's how long ago this was.
That's how long ago this was.
Uh-huh. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Well, this is, it's out of control here.
Look how svelte the Junkyard Dog looks. I mean, he's not mid-south
yeah.
skinny, but he's still fairly svelte.
Yeah, no, I mean, we've seen his, 1992 footage of him. Jimmy
but
Hart's got
really
branded
fat.
Buns, Jim.
Which now is a selling point when you go to Starbucks, the branded buns.
Mm. There we go. We ought to make a T-shirt out of that. That's called Jimmy Hart, though. All right. Circling. Arr. no. Terry got the advantage. Got underneath Hogan. Hitting him with the left hands. Notice he was chopping Hogan and he wasn't hitting him with the left-hand punch, which Mick Foley described as looking so good because Terry would haul off and hit you as hard as he could.
As we mentioned, Terry Funk, not a stupid man.
No. Nope. Knows where his bread is buttered.
You know, it's incredible. You know, you'd think that given Terry's career starting in the 60s that he'd be wrapping up here, but no, he had a run with Flair. He, you know, came back as Chainsaw Charlie, you know, 13 years after this match. I mean, you know, his revival with ECW.
He also had a little break in there, Jim, where he feuded with Ric Flair in 1989.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And became one of the more popular announcers in WCW for a while. And then became ECW champion. Yeah, there's just a whole lot going on. Wow. Those fans really, the fans who liked Roddy Piper so much are really getting on Jimmy Hart. Except for that one guy, of course. Up goes Terry Funk. Oh, no. It's been bad luck for Terry Funk throughout this whole matchup.
He is just stooging for Hogan incredibly. Look at all this. Look at him just hamming everything up. He's just...
He knows. He knows why he's there.
Yep.
Yeah, Jesse's saying, Hogan's in trouble right here. Okay. Oh, my goodness. And there's a big elbow drop. That should... Nope. He's not done yet. You got to drop the leg. Got to drop the leg, brother. Oh, my God. Nope. We're going to get him. Going to go for a bulldog? No, I guess not. Oh, Jimmy Hart with the trip. Junkyard Dog not doing his job, Jim. Jimmy Hart trapped underneath the ring. At least I think that's what they're going for. What's Funk up to?
What's he doing?
I don't know. Oh, he's choking them out with the tape. Ah, good times. Oh, my goodness. Hogan is turning orange. Oh, wait.
Look at the guy pointing at the shirt. The guy next to him is literally dressed like one of the hillbillies.
He's a big
fan. And that's not a costume.
You sure?
I'm...
You sure he didn't just come from Comic-Con?
Look at that dude.
Oh my goodness, Hogan. Yes. Yes, Terry Funk, Jesse explained that Terry Funk's a true ring general and a genius.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan, but you might like MMA too. And if so, check out our sister site, MMATorch.com, with live fight event coverage, including UFC pay-per-views, previews of all UFC and Bellator events, the daily news digest, exclusive columns, flashbacks, and much more. Check it out. If you're a fan of MMA, you'll be a fan of MMATorch.com.
Oh, my goodness. Could we see Terry Funk become the WWF heavyweight champion? He's going to hit the pile driver. That's it. I mean, this is the move that broke Ric Flair's neck. Sort of. Jesse accurately complaining about the slow count. Oh, my goodness. Okay. What is Funk? Funk's going to go for the moonsault. No, he's not going to go for the moonsault. Darn it.
This was a little pre-moonsault in the United States.
Yeah, years later, Funk's like, what's the big deal? If I knew it was a big deal, I would have done it earlier. Oh, my goodness. He's hulking up. It's still a little... It's not quite at prime hulking up, but he's getting there.
Look at Funk, though. Will most people back off? He's still trying. I mean, obviously he's going to succumb to Hulk Hogan. That guy in the Hawaiian shirt is loving this. Look at him. He's swinging in the air.
He's like, I paid $20 for this seat.
That guy is so excited. Look how excited that guy is.
I love it.
I wish I was excited about life as that guy is about Hulk Hogan.
All right, Kerwin, focus on the guy in the Hawaiian shirt more. Oh,
that
no, another trip from Jimmy Hart.
Let me just say this. That guy is too excited for his age.
Okay, well, oh, my
but
goodness.
But I'm happy for him.
He's getting to see Hulk. He's getting to see his heroes.
In their prime.
Yep.
I'm sure he shows his grandkids today. Look at Dad. Look at Granddad.
Look at him, yes. The clothesline.
He's got sunglasses on now.
Oh, Hogan wins with a clothesline.
I know, not even the leg drop.
Out of nowhere, but it was the element of surprise because Terry thought he had won. It's really a disputed finish. Terry is definitely disputing the finish, yes.
Tack, I forgot Terry Funk is out of control.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, come on, for Terry Funk, this is a Wednesday night, you know?
That's true.
I'm the champ. Yep, that's right, me. Hogan's like, damn it, Funk, get over here. There we go.
Look at that.
All right, plastic chairs.
Way before ECW.
Just a bit, yeah. So he's like, if I knew I could get the crowd to throw chairs in for me, I would have done it sooner. Hogan's your winner, everybody. Let's take this show on the road.
Oh. Look at that crowd. They are so excited.
They're enthralled. They've just seen the biggest prize in sports wrestling.
You know? They're not chanting at Funk, you still got it.
No, they're not. Or at Hogan, for that matter. Coming up, more Hulk. That's how you do it. Good job, Terry.
Oh, my God, they're dragging Jimmy Hart out of the arena.
Dragging Jimmy Hart, yes. Let's see that again. Slow motion replay. Jimmy Hart with the trip?
That was the greatest thing I'd ever seen in my life, dragging Jimmy Hart out of the arena.
That's fantastic. He's Terry Funk.
Probably,
there you go. Oh, no, the headbutt. Oh, my God. Yes. Okay. But there you have it. Hulk Hogan's still your champion. I'm guessing there'll be some sort of a rematch, though, around the horn. Okay. Mean Gene is standing by with Hulk Hogan. With that guy over his shoulder.
That guy is so excited.
Yeah.
Hawaiian shirt dude is ready to go.
And then he's ready to go out on the town afterwards. Just for a great evening. After this, we're going to Bennigan's. And I believe this was set up for the next Saturday night's main event, the Funk Brothers against Hogan and JYD. Let's take a flashback to George Animal Steel.
The first Saturday night's main event, the first match on Saturday night's main event.
Yes.
Okay, let me just say for the record, I hated this on Tuesday Night Titans.
So odds are it wasn't good.
Yeah, it sucked. It's so funny when people talk about, oh, wrestling back then. No, this was stupid.
No, this was awful. Yeah. And more of George Animal Steel in the wild. Unga Bunga. Captain Lou Albano with George Steele and a bunch of women in bathing suits. That seems right. The models are like, we don't have to actually touch these guys, do we?
Did we lose George Steele in 2017?
We lost him. I don't know if it was 2017 or 2016.
Yeah.
A good man, Jim Myers.
Yeah, he was a coach. The football stadium where he's coached in Michigan is named after him.
Oh, yeah, the macho man Randy Savage. Let's quit looking at Elizabeth. Yeah, I'm going to rip your face off if you do. Yeah. Please don't hurt me, Randy. I didn't invite him here.
We did lose him in 17. We lost him in February.
Oh, Elizabeth.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Randy Savage, I'm going to say he's not woke.
Yeah. No. In many ways.
Yes, yeah. I showed her, yeah. I threw her off a... I threw her into the pool, yeah.
Now, this
just like Vince taught me, yeah.
From an athletic standpoint, this is Savage at his peak, really.
Oh, yes.
As I've
mentioned,
the
number one contender for the Intercontinental title at this point. And the lovely Elizabeth,
if Savage is wearing a headband, he's awesome. If he's wearing a cowboy hat, not so much.
Oh, look at this. All right. Hey, baby. Wow. You're soft. Aww.
You know this is killing.
George Steele just wants some catnip. Maybe a rub behind the ears. Lou's like, okay, come on, settle down. I don't want another lawsuit. Let's go.
That's true. If they were alive, Ms. Elizabeth would be coming out right now. George Steele harassed me.
That's right. Multiple times. He touched me.
Yes, but neither of them are alive, so.
Yeah, sadly.
Yeah.
Get back in your corner, yeah. Don't tempt any of the menfolk, yeah. Or I'll, yeah, to the moon, Alice, yeah.
Gonna lock you back in a closet with TV dinners.
Yeah.
Which he actually did.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to bring in Lanny to watch you again, yeah. Okay. Here we go. It's George Animal Steel versus the Macho Man. All right. All right. You can still take my sunglasses off, yeah.
Miss Elizabeth also was like the prettiest woman in wrestling at this point. I mean, probably the prettiest woman ever been in wrestling at this point. Everyone was enamored that someone so attractive would be associated with wrestling.
Well, she's not the perfect 10 baby doll, but she does okay, yeah. All right, here we go. Macho Man ready to wrestle himself if necessary.
So, yeah, I guess 2017 was the year that we lost all three major participants in this match.
I know.
Oh, my God, look at Hawaiian shirt guy. He's going crazy.
Well, we lost Randy years ago, but yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying all three. Because
okay.
George Steele would be the last one.
Oh, yeah, the last one, yeah. Oh, look at that. Yes, George Steele using the martial arts style later popularized by Santino Marella.
Yeah, that's really funny. I guess that sign back there, that bed sheet, predicted the Cobra, you know, 20 years, 30 years before the Cobra happened.
I know. Oh, wow. Now, this is the WWF, so throwing your opponent over the top rope, not a disqualification.
If I was the guy with the bed sheet, I'd be suing them for royalties. Hey, I came up with it first. Look at my sign.
Yep. There's probably a lawsuit he can join.
It can, I'm sure.
There we go. Okay.
Let's see how long we can go without locking up at all. Yeah.
And this is how it all began, the issue between George Steele and Randy Savage.
And I got to say, it was disappointing that it was a disappointing match for Randy at WrestleMania 2 against George Steele.
Yes.
I mean, you wanted to see Randy have a good match at WrestleMania 2, but nope, there were really just a tag team match. Yeah.
Don't worry, they would take care of that in future years. Oh, big right hand by George the Animal Steel, and another one. Now, keep in mind that a lot of people have already turned off their sets because the Hogan stuff is over, but...
Well, that's the way they produced, you know, Saturday night's main event. You know, this started at 11:30, and people fell asleep.
Main event first, main event second, then, you know, the other stuff. Then the other stuff. Oh, no. Aw. Are you okay? Aw. Poor George the Animal Steel. Oh.
Oh, man, that turnbuckle's going to get it now. Oh, my goodness. Oh, no, foam to the eyes. That foam was recalled during the 80s, so that's, I don't know how Randy's eyes are.
Yeah, it's made of pure asbestos.
Mm-hmm.
And gluten.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, he is entranced by Elizabeth. Boom. There we go, that's it. All right, that was a quick one for Randy. So Randy, the Macho Man Savage is your winner. And he's taking his lovely wife back to the locker room.
Where he's going to lock her in a closet for real.
Yeah. Well, only until it's time to go home, Jim.
Yes.
What happened? Says Lou Albano. Yeah, great job, Lou. Great job controlling your guy. Yes, Georgia Animal Steel loses the match, but does get to eat a turnbuckle.
Huh? And Hawaiian shirt guy, not happy.
No. But he has the Hawaiian shirt guy has a friend in Lou Albano. It's the year in review, Jim.
And I love the hillbilly guy next to him.
Yep. All right, let's see the year in review.
Look at that tiny Walkman Mean Gene has. Well, that thing's tiny for 85.
I know. Well, it's top of the line.
Making that big, fat WWE money. Is that a custom-made shirt he has on, or is that something they made or he bought or what?
I have not. I'm guessing they sold those in Florida.
Probably.
Here's all the highlights from 1985 in the WWF.
What music are they using?
Oh gosh, I'll have to go look it up. But, yeah.
Just some generic stuff. Okay.
I know, let's see. I know sometime during this episode they used When the Going Gets Tough by Billy Ocean, but I don't think this is it. WWF 1985. What a year.
It was a big year. The first WrestleMania, I mean, this was a huge year for WWF. Mm-hmm. One of the most critical years in the history of the company.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
I mean, and look at all these iconic stars, people that are still remembered today.
Agreed.
I mean, you watch something from like 2006 or something, you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that guy.
Mm-hmm. But you don't forget about stuff from 85. 85 was just a huge year in wrestling in general.
Yeah, it was. Mr. T was a huge deal, too. I mean, people legit thought he was the toughest guy.
He was a famous bouncer who got his first exposure on the hit television show Real People.
Yep.
I think that was it, no?
Yeah, that was, he was on, like, there was, like, a TV show, The World's Toughest Bouncers, where they did, like, a bunch of competitions.
Mm-hmm, yep. Okay, I don't know what this knockoff song is, but let's see. Okay, the song was, the original song that was edited out was When the Going Gets Tough, the Tough Gets Going by Billy Ocean.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know what Jim Johnston's special this is, but yeah. Oh wow, they've got all the highlights. Moolah, of course. Wendy Richter. Oh my goodness, no. A lot of dancing in 1985, apparently.
Well, you know, girls just want to have fun.
That's what I hear.
The terrible wrestling album. Look at that.
Good times.
There was a huge riot when Roddy Piper broke that record over Albano's head. There was a big deal in the garden.
Yes, it was. We might have to do that show at some point. Orndorff and Piper. Because they want actual wrestling highlights in here at some point, I guess. And, of course, the start of Saturday night's main event.
Yeah, I mean, this was a big, big year. This was really the year that started everything for the WWF.
JYD and his mama.
Right.
Liberace.
Yeah, real mom.
Uncle Elmer.
You know, I heard rumors Liberace might have been gay.
Really?
Yeah, huh. He actually sued a magazine in the 50s when they suggested that and won.
Yeah, well, didn't have proof.
So funny. A different time.
I agree. Jesse Ventura upset that he was not included in the year in review. And he's complaining about Dick Ebersol now. All right. Okay, Mean Gene is standing by with the classy one, Freddie Blassie and Nikolai Volkov. It's peace time, Jim.
That's right, the big peace match. And again, this is the Reagan. These are the Reagan years.
Reagan and Gorbachev.
Maybe 85 was the peak Reagan year, maybe. I think you could make that argument.
Yeah, I mean, the second inauguration for a second term, yeah.
Yeah, you could make that argument.
I mean, he won by almost as big a margin as Donald Trump in 94. Anyway.
No, he actually won.
I know.
Both the popular head and the electoral
college. Yes, I know. He won 40. Only Minnesota saved Reagan from a complete, saved Mondale from him being swept.
Yeah, his own home state. Well, hey, at least he won his home state. Al Gore can't say that.
That's true. All right, Freddie Blassie. Yeah, why is Iron Sheik here? He's not wrestling tonight. Well, I hope Iron Sheik never loses that tremendous six-pack he's got going.
That's true. You know, the funny part about this is both of these, you know, Nikolai hated the Russians. He escaped communism.
Yes.
And same thing, Iron Sheik was a bodyguard for the Shah of Iran, who was an enemy of the Ayatollah. So it's kind of funny they're both playing opposites.
Corporal Kirchner, the stand-in for Sergeant Slaughter when Slaughter left to join the AWA.
And they, you know, it's not an accident that Corporal Kirchner looks like Sylvester Stallone's Rambo.
Not
character.
At all.
That's not an accident.
Yes.
Yeah, but he has no real military background.
No, he doesn't.
To the best of Mike Kirchner.
The highlight of recent years for Corporal Kirchner was having WWE declare him dead on their website and having to go out and prove that he was not, in fact, dead.
Yeah, true story. Gorilla Monsoon used to write a newspaper column years ago and wrote that superstar Billy Graham was dead. And at least WWE made a retraction about Corporal Kirchner. Gorilla Monsoon refused to retract the thing that superstar
he's dead to me.
Was alive. Yeah, he never did.
He's dead to me, Brian.
Yep.
Just like that coward Tom Zink.
Okay, here we go.
All right.
Those are some
and now, Mr. Volkov will be performing Walking on the Sunshine by Katrina and the Waves. Or not, yeah. Everybody!
You know, you can follow Katrina on Twitter at Katrina of the Waves. She actually still tours, does all the 80s shows.
Nikolai has a beautiful voice. As they throw water on him.
You hope that's water.
Yeah, seriously. Well, this isn't Puerto Rico, so I'm assuming it's water. Okay. Corporal Kirchner, accompanied by the fake honor guard of the fake Fort MacDill. I don't know if it's a real honor guard.
Yeah, is that like the what is it called? The guys, the National Guard, the youth National Guard that go out and search and stuff. I forget their names.
Right.
I can't think of their names. I apologize.
I thought he was accompanied by the Indie Wrestlers 47th Battalion, but okay.
Probably.
There we go. Kirchner and Volkov, the peace match. Oh, they finally figured out to hang it like on the... they finally figured out instead of holding up the banner, you can hang it down from the seats. My goodness. And only 45 minutes into the show, so...
You know, you look around this arena, and it's amazing. There are no large screens. The advertisements are small.
USF Sundome.
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing how primitive this looks now.
Oh, yeah.
They might as well be in the Roman Coliseum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look at that banner. That looks exactly like Santino's Cobra on his arm. The sock. Yeah. That guy's
indeed.
Got a copyright lawsuit. Look at that. That's exactly it.
Oh, my goodness. Somebody call... I'd say call
sue.
Santino, but that's not going
to
help.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I'll be on bar. There we go. So Corporal Kirchner eventually went to Japan and became Leatherface or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, you gotta keep your longevity going in this business. Nikolai is done. He was a Mongol. Geez, what else did he do? And he was Nikolai for a while, though. Oh, Shiki, baby. Fans definitely behind the USA here in Tampa. I know, shocking.
Hello, you people. I'm Pat McNeil. Every Sunday night, Greg Parks and I will bring you Wrestling Night in America here on PW Torch Livecast. We're on at 8 p.m. Eastern most weeks or immediately following the night's pay-per-view. We'll talk Raw, SmackDown, NXT, GFW, New Japan, Ring of Honor, WWN, and all the latest wrestling news with your phone calls. So don't miss it. Be there.
Oh, Nikolai.
I actually looked at, my wife and I looked at buying a couple of condos in Tampa. We didn't end up doing it because I got sick, but we actually looked at buying. I wish we would have, man. We'd be doing awesome right now, but oh well.
Yeah, you would. Maybe. Right. Beepo Mongol. Let's see. Won the titles and won the tag titles in 1970. Managed by Lou Albano, and then came back and had a sellout match with Bruno Sammartino in 74.
Yeah, Nikolai Volkov had a really long career.
Mm-hmm. And then was one of the filled in as a masked executioner for Killer Kowalski. And then there were briefly three executioners. Also in the AWA, he was Boris Breznikov. Okay.
Yeah, he's not even the first Nikolai Volkov. There was an original Nikolai Volkov. He's actually the second one.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Let's see, wrestle for Bill Watts. Nikolai could crush an apple with one hand. I think he could still do that as of like a decade ago. So.
Yeah, I mean, he's a little past his physical prime here, but, just like probably the early 80s and late 70s, you know, his waist was smaller and his chest looked even more pronounced.
Mm-hmm. Nikolai Volkov also married for 35 years, which is amazing.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
I love the cartwheel.
Yep. Oh, always good. Oh. Nick's a good guy. He tried to run for office in the state of Maryland and made the mistake of doing so as a Republican. Oh, Nick.
Didn't they, like, his opponent say, like, he spit on the flag or something like that?
Yes.
Yeah,
he lost in the Republican primary, yes.
I don't exactly remember him spitting on the flag physically. I mean, certainly he denounced it and stuff.
They could probably find some footage. I think the footage of him singing the Soviet national anthem would probably,
Yeah, it was the era.
Listen, if you can't disqualify Donald Trump for being involved in wrestling, then really what Nikolai did shouldn't matter.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it should be on the issues, and I don't know enough about if he was good or not.
Okay, one, two. The big knee drop finishes it off. Nikolai Volkov, you went in the peace match, and that one woman just very, very happy.
Yeah, what the heck?
Yay, the Russians win! Woo-hoo!
What the heck? Why is she... In 1985, you didn't do that.
Maybe it's Corporal Kircher's ex-wife.
What kind of subversive communist? Was that Patty Hearst?
Could be. Oh, my goodness. Oh, well, don't worry. Corporal Kirchner is going to fight back against the evil guys who cheated. Oh, wait.
You know, that was the thing. It's like you could never fully get behind Corporal Kirchner for just that reason. He never really won convincingly. And I guess they did the flag match at WrestleMania 2, and he won that, but it was kind of a cheap victory.
He had to win that. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess maybe this was a setup, but still, it's like he never won convincingly. You couldn't get behind him at all.
Well, it was 1985. It was 2017. Vince would have booked him in a six-month feud with Steve Yaffe.
Yeah, he just was never happening.
And the crowd goes mild.
Yeah.
Arr! He's very upset, Jim. Don't worry, though. We still have more action, Jim. A big tag team match. This was not the Bad Blood 1985 event. This is he's just describing there's bad blood. And yes, they hung Ricky Steamboat. It's okay to show the hanging of Ricky Steamboat. It's not okay to show the Funk Brothers hanging Junkyard Dog. That got pulled off the network, so. Oh, Don Morocco, the beach bum.
Don Morocco would just get up and leave and go lay on the beach after a while. He was kind of intermittent. In the early 70s, he was seen as like a Jack Briscoe possible world champion, but he just never probably put enough effort into it. I'm not saying it couldn't have happened or would have happened otherwise, but one of the reasons was he just was just kind of chill about everything.
So Don Morocco has the best tag team partner ever, Mr. Fuji. Yes, he has no reason to worry about the Junkyard Dog because he's not a mailman and he doesn't wear suspenders. I have no idea what that means. Yes, I like dog well done. I cut up dog and serve in Chinese food.
All righty then.
Okay. I'm sorry. There we go. What a classic tag team match we're about to see, folks. I'm hoping when they tape this, they actually tape the Hogan match last. No, a boiled dog. Fuji. I was joking, but Fuji was talking about eating dogs.
Yeah, of course. You got to get that heel heat. Mm-hmm. As we mentioned before, Fred Fujiwara was Hawaiian. He wasn't actually Japanese, but that was not uncommon.
Right. All right, well. That's okay. Junkyard Dog getting a good evening of helping other people tonight. He's been bushwhacked, hung, and blasted with a chair. Ricky Steamboat.
You know, Ricky Steamboat really got screwed when Dusty came in and started booking him underneath and kind of pushed him out, and he left to go to WWF because of that. But really, it was probably better for him to be in WWF.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he got, he was very well known after WrestleMania 3. I mean, he worked WrestleMania 1. Yeah, yeah. All right. Okay. I don't know, I couldn't make out what Junkyard Dog said, but I assume he's firmly on the side of Ricky Steamboat.
You know, Don Morocco was a great drawing Intercontinental Champion, and if you want to look at
lengthy feud with Snuka,
and he drew really well. You know, he main evented with the Intercontinental title, and I would say, I don't know where I would rank him, but I would say he's easily in the top five of all the greatest Intercontinental Champions. And I think because it was so long ago, people leave him out because they don't know about that. But he drew on top really well as an Intercontinental Champion, and I think you could even make the case he was the greatest Intercontinental Champion in WWF history.
All right, time to grab them cakes. Up next, that was Junkyard Dog's theme song. His original theme song, of course, was another one, Bites the Dust by Queen, which, Freddie Mercury, Junkyard Dog, just a natural fit, I guess. I don't know. Oh, no! It's Fuji at this point, a multi-time former WWF Tag Team Champion, so it's not like, it's not like he just fell off the turnip truck. Best known for teaming with Mr. Saito in WWF, by the way.
Yeah, it was whomever. He always had a tag team partner, always the Japanese tag team.
Yes. Also teamed with a three-time champion with Toru Tanaka.
Right. In the early 70s, early mid-70s,
Well, there you go. And, as has been pointed out here on Wikipedia, voted worst manager of the year 9 years in a row.
Yeah. He was
and 11 out of 12.
He was a fine, stereotypical heel when interviews didn't really matter, but, not a great interview.
Wait, who broke? Wait, how did Fuji break that string, though? That's the thing.
I think they stopped giving out that award.
No, Paul Jones interrupted 1 year.
Oh, okay.
Paul
Jones
won
in 86. That's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
And then after 95, Fuji wasn't managing full-time, and the award went full-time to Sonny Ono. So. Yep.
Okay.
Hot tag to Morocco. Wow, quite the arm drag there, Jim.
Wow, that was terrible. And look, No one's chanting, though. There's no "you effed up" chant.
No, they didn't have those back then.
Yep.
Much like they didn't have Five Guys back then.
I've seen the Pepsi ad, and I saw one for Bush Beer. I'm surprised there's not an ad for cigarettes of some kind.
You can still do print and billboard ads for cigarettes.
Yeah,
back
I figured
then, so
they'd be somewhere in the arena, but no.
There's no Marlboro Man. You're right.
Usually those were common.
That's true. All right, tag the Fuji. Here we go. Fuji's biggest match in the 80s probably was him teaming with the Powers of Pain at WrestleMania 5.
Yeah, probably.
Probably. Yeah. Fuji, a part of the worst executed double turn of all time at Survivor Series 88.
Well,
in which the
so
fans
many...
thought that Fuji had turned babyface instead of that the Powers of Pain had turned heel.
And so many people remember Fuji Vice and Fuji General and
Fuji
Bandito.
Bandito
with Don
We
Morocco.
Have covered Fuji Vice.
And
as well as anybody
can
cover Fuji Vice anyway.
It's so funny to me when people complain about stupid stuff in wrestling and then they go, "I love Fuji Vice."
No, you didn't.
They were terrible.
No, the highlight of those skits was they'd show the skit and you'd cut back to Fuji and Morocco celebrating like they'd just put on an Academy Award winner. That was the whole point.
They were supposed to be bad and they were.
Yes. Actually, there was a TNT where Fuji and Morocco were doing stand up comedy together that was so awful that people were laughing at them. Fuji not known for his comic timing doing those.
And more than likely, Morocco was high.
Well, yeah, there's that.
I'm not saying this match is bad, but even Hawaiian shirt guy is standing up and not interested.
I know.
Hawaiian shirt guy has got his hands in his pockets, so that's,
that's a bad
sign. Good
sign. Well,
yeah.
If business is about to pick up, if Ricky Steamboat ever gets to tag in, here we go. All right, now we're talking. Oh, yeah, he's excited. Hawaiian shirt guy was thrilled that Ricky Steamboat tagged in. He says, "Now this match is going to improve. You watch." I mean, Steamboat just a great pure baby face.
You know, I do another show with Fumi Saito. It's called the Pacific Rim Pro Wrestling Podcast.
We talked
about how Ricky Steamboat didn't really get over in Japan. We did a whole segment on wrestlers who were main event wrestlers who were like lost in translation. And it's on iTunes. You can find it at Pacific Rim Pro Wrestling Podcast. Just do a search for it. Or
he's going
find
up.
It on my Twitter at Jim Valley.
He's going up. Look how excited the crowd is. It's Ricky Steamboat. Oh. That was so close, Jim. Okay. And now Fuji's in. Oh, boy. And here we go. And everybody sits down. No, I'm just kidding.
There we go.
The match is over. Ricky Steamboat and the Junkyard Dog, your big winners tonight here on Saturday night's main event. It doesn't get much more exciting than this, Jim Valley. Steamboat very upset with Don Morocco. Oh, geez. Cheap shot by Morocco there. Oh, well. Okay, well, there we go. There's a shot of the actual crowd. There's more for the Sundome coming up.
Which means we've got to fill time before we have during our last break.
This has been sensational. Yeah. Yes. The biggest night in the history of Saturday Night main event with Jesse Ventura winning. In his first and last match on Saturday night's main event.
It's probably one of his last matches ever. Maybe his last match.
We're getting towards the end of his career, yeah. Yes. He challenges any other announcer to come in and fight him. Okay, well, that's not the end of the show, believe it or not. How many commercials can we cram into the final 10 minutes of the show? Let's find out.
Exactly. We've got one more. It's got to fill some more time. People
Happy
are
New Year.
Filing out.
All right. Yay. Oh, George Scott, your event coordinator. They're also doing playing When the Going Gets Tough and the live version of this, so.
Billy Ocean was huge in 1985.
Oh, my
Caribbean
goodness.
Queen.
Caribbean Queen, yeah.
Yeah? There
the Sun Dome gets the credit as the site location. Yay, America! All right. This is exciting. Once a Month Productions Incorporated. Copyright 1985. Oh, well. Happy New Year, Jim.
Happy New Year
to
you,
that,
Pat.
But sure, yes. Okay, so the next episode of Saturday Night's Main Event is, I didn't know that, Hogan versus Morocco. Oh, well, same time next year we can do that. All right, so here we go. Let's go back to where we were. So after this, the next day was Sunday, January the 5th. WWF, of course, hits the road for three shows. The A show hits Baltimore. 13,000 people turn out to see Junkyard Dog beat Greg Valentine by countout. And in the main event, Hulk Hogan defeats Brutus Beefcake, who's one half of the tag team champions. The B show is in Amarillo, Texas, where Jesse Ventura beats Uncle Elmer and Andre the Giant and Hillbilly Jim defeat Bundy, Studd, and Heenan. And the C show is in beautiful Columbus, Ohio, where Don Morocco beats Ricky Steamboat and Tito Santana successfully defends the IC title against Randy Savage. Jim Crockett Promotions does their Sunday doubleheader. They go to Asheville, North Carolina, which, by the way, the home of Edge and his lovely wife, Beth Phoenix, where 2,500 people tune out for the matinee to see the Road Warriors defeat Ivan Koloff and the Barbarian. And in the main event, Ric Flair defends the NWA Championship successfully against Manny Fernandez. Then the nightcap in Charlotte. 10,200 turn out to see U.S. Champion Magnum T.A. defeat Tully Blanchard. And Ric Flair versus Dusty Rhodes goes to a no contest. And January 6th was the next World Class show. That would be Monday night in Fort Worth, where Buddy Roberts wins the World Class TV title from Mark Youngblood, and Missing Link versus Rick Rude goes to a no contest. So there you have it. All right, and obviously if you'd like to know more about Junkyard Dog, Ricky Steamboat, Mr. Fuji, Don Morocco, or Hulk Hogan, you can go visit the VIP archives at pwtorch.com or head down to your local library where they're all in books. But, Jim, we do have to come up with what we're going to do on our next episode, which will be in the month of December. December already, Jim.
I know. It's the holiday season is upon us.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right.
Well, I read that next week they're tearing down the Georgia Dome.
They are.
So my thought is that in honor of that, we should do probably the most famous match in the history of the Georgia Dome.
Uh-oh.
And that took place in 1998, I should say. Sorry about that. When Goldberg took on Hulk Hogan for the WCW World title. So it's Monday, July the 6th, 1998, Nitro 147. From the Georgia Dome, a very infamous night in professional wrestling history.
Okay. Let's see. I'm looking through our list of listener suggestions. I thought there might have been a bigger match in the history of Georgia Dome, like Rock versus Cena, but you know what? We're not going to do that. We're definitely going to do this one. Hogan and Goldberg. Let's see. Let's go through the other stuff. Out of our list of listener suggestions, looking for something that looks like it belongs in the month of December. Well, whoever suggested In Your House Degeneration X from 1997, yeah, okay, we'll throw it in there. That'll be our listener suggestion for this time out. Because haven't you always wanted to see Ken Shamrock headline a WWF pay-per-view, Jim?
One of the lowest-rated pay-per-views ever. The bottom of the barrel for WWF, and it's more with WCW.
I think nobody watched this, in fact. except we could do it. Because we're special.
So.
All right, let's go see what we have on the randomizer for today. We're going to spin the big wheel. Hold on a moment. Let me set up the tone here. We got all sorts of stuff on the randomizer. We got your Clash of Champions or World Class, your Primetime, your ECW, your AWA. There we go. Let's give the wheel a big spin. I said let's give the wheel a big spin. Thank you. Okay, here we go. YouTube, World Class. WWF. All right, this is interesting. We got ECW on TNN for September 1st, 2000, the finals of the tag team title tournament in the Manhattan Center. Well, not my favorite era of ECW, but we can go with that. I figured it's December. I feel like we could do a Starcade. And given that we've done some good Starcades already, I was going to go with 1995. Nashville, the World Cup of Wrestling, Jim. It was the WCW versus New Japan in a best of seven, followed by Ric Flair versus Lex Luger versus Sting for the right to wrestle Randy Savage for the WCW World title.
Love it.
Definitely.
Great choice.
Okay, so that's those are four big choices right there, and a little something for everyone. We'll put them up on Twitter, and you can go ahead and cast your ballot. One of these four will be what we cover beginning on episode number 169, and we hope you decide to stick around and stay a VIP member and check that out along with all the other stuff in the PW Torch VIP archives. And I want to thank you, the listeners, for sticking with us through the first 3 years and change of Wayback Playback. It really, you know, you're the ones who make this special. It's kind of, you know, I mean, we could do this for ourselves, but, you know, and we'd enjoy it, but it's more fun knowing that you're with us.
And I believe right now, for the first time ever in the history of the Torch, we've got software where I think you can get a free 10-day trial, absolutely free. So sign up now at pwtorch.com/govip for an absolutely free trial and listen to 3 years of us babble on about shows we're watching.
Yes, and loving it. And thank you again. We'll get you to cast your votes and, we're back to with all in books. Okay, so, Jim, I guess until – Jim, thank you. I hope everybody's having a happy Thanksgiving. And until next time, yesterday's history, tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I invite you to get even more of what the Torch offers by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Not only do you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and access to about 30 years of our archives, including over 1,500 back issues and thousands upon thousands of hours of our audio shows going back to 2004, plus tons of retro radio shows from the 1990s. But you also get over 15 VIP exclusive podcasts per week, in addition to ad-free editions of these PW Torch livecasts throughout the week. So we take the ads out of the PW Torch livecast for VIP members and then give you over 15 other podcasts per week, including what started it all, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. I host that with Bruce every weekend, and we spend a couple hours talking about the biggest stories of professional wrestling and wrestling history. It's one of the longest-running weekly pro wrestling podcasts on any subject, and it's one of the main reasons people go VIP and stay VIP. Another is The Fix with Todd Martin. I host that every midweek with Todd, and we get Todd's expertise and opinions every midweek on current events in professional wrestling, not just WWE, but all promotions worldwide, including New Japan. Plus, we end every show with some expert MMA talk from the LA Times columnist and SureDog contributor, Todd Martin. And there's so much more. The Every Single Day Weight Killer Hotline with news updates every single day, Monday through Friday. And every Saturday and Sunday, I do the Ask the Editor format of the Weight Killer Hotline, where I answer VIP member questions in depth. And there's so much more. There's the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, Wrestling Audio Community with Sean Radican, the WWE Future Past Show with scouting reports on prospects and a look back at the indie career of current stars, the PW Torch East Coast Cast Extended VIP Edition, the retro radio shows. Every Thursday, a new retro radio show from the 90s drops, from the early 90s or the Attitude Era. And last but not least, my in-depth Raw and SmackDown reports. you can get a full chronological rundown of every episode of Raw SmackDown with my analysis of the show in depth every Monday night and Tuesday night. So check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. We give you a lot here at the live cast, but there is so much more. The vast majority of our work is for our VIP members, and you can become one today. Go check out details on a subscription at pwtorch.com/govip.